Well, I did a search on the internet the other day and quickly found out there are many, many books that have been written about what's called information overload, sometimes referred to as information glut. Apparently with our phones and the newspapers and emails and computers and fax machines and iPads and TVs and all of that, we are bombarded with information on a daily basis. And it says our data smog, they call it, is said to include up to 3,000 messages a day, again, between the phones, emails, meetings, conversations. We will also hear over 600 advertisements per day, some blatant, some subtle. Little thing you see a sign here or there, basically an advertisement. And the concern is, as we try to digest all of this information, it brings stress. There's so much coming at us on a daily basis, and we tend to shut some of it off. And the information overload, of course, includes now, for many years now, nonstop news programs. You can turn your TV on nighttime, day or night, and choose between several nonstop broadcasts. Some radio stations broadcast the news at top of the bottom every hour, and there are satellite radio stations that has nonstop news broadcasts. You can go to bed with the news, and you can wake up with the news if you so desire to do that. Of course, it's rarely good news, amen? Of course, the news channels are very proficient at just, you know, sensationalizing any kind of story to kind of get scoop the competition, if you will. But in all of that information, there is one story, a type of story, that seems to capture our attention the most. When we hear it, we stop and pay attention. We'll listen often for an eventual outcome. It's not a political story. It's not a disaster story. Not a sports story. I mean, they may get our attention, but they don't grab us like this one particular type of story. Every once in a while, we will hear a story of a missing person. And suddenly, everybody wants to know what happened to them. Why are they missing? Are they safe? Are they injured? Are they hurt or in trouble? Are they dead? I mean, what has happened to them? And all of mankind understands the value of human life. Search parties are formed, posters distributed, woods are combed, lakes are dragged. What happened to this person? And available people, every available person, every available dollar is spent to find them. And often we'll eventually find the answer. There are times where we never know the answer. And so this missing person story catches our attention. And interestingly enough, even the Bible has a missing person story, kind of missing in action, if you will. And we find this story in chapter 5 of Genesis. And this chapter is an account of several men, really, from Adam to Noah. And as you read through the chapter, there's a general repetitiveness about the chapter. We'll see just part of it, chapter 5, verse 3 of Genesis. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. I'm thinking Adam must have belonged to a local health club and had a lot of Oprah. 930 years, that's a long time. But if you continue on in the chapter, you read that Seth lived and had children. He died. Enos lived and had children and died. And name after name, all the begots, they just like us, they were born, they lived, they had families, and then they sooner or later die. And reading through it, it's not particularly exciting. In fact, if you read through it and look at it with the wrong perspective, it could be discouraging. But you want to read through the life that God's given people. But as you read along in this chapter, something happens that gets your attention, sort of an Old Testament news bulletin. We interrupt this litany to bring you an amazing account. At 7:15 this evening, a man was walking, and suddenly, he was no more. And really? Somebody lived, had children, but didn't die? Yeah, Scripture confirms that. We see it in Genesis 5:21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Did you ever wonder what his family and friends did? Combed the fields, searched the cities, dragged the current lakes. I mean, what happened to him? Sooner or later they knew. I mean, God revealed at the very least, as he does here in the Word of God. But Enoch had this wonderful testimony. He lived 365 years, walked with God until one day God decided they would just keep walking and walked right on home to heaven. I mean, what an incredible testimony. And we really don't read a lot about Enoch. I mean, we see his here in a list of genealogy. We see him. We see a list of genealogy in Luke. He comes up. Jude speaks of Enoch prophesying. He was a prophet. But he also shows up in Hebrews chapter 11. And we've been in the faith chapter now for a couple of weeks, the Hall of Fame of Faith and the faith chapter, men and women of faith. And we start out looking at Hebrews chapter 11, and we said that verse 1 gave us a wonderful definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped, or the evidence of things not seen. And we picked that apart over the weeks, and we saw that faith deals with things future and with things not yet seen. And we said as we grow in faith and have a mature faith, that faith will bring an attitude of mind towards the future and the unseen that will affect your confession and behavior here and now in the present. Because the things you speak and the things you believe are part of your faith walk with God. And so it impacts your future. And we spent some time in the Hall of Fame of Faith, and we looked at some of the heroes of faith, a list of men and women who grew to great faith. And it's in that chapter that we come across Enoch. And verse 5 of chapter 11 says this, "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." You've got to wonder what it was that set Enoch apart from everybody else, that he'd be included in this chapter. What set him apart? What made him different? And Scripture says, before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What was it about Enoch that pleased God so much that God interrupted the normal life cycle and supernaturally took him to heaven? What did he do that just pleased God so much? Verse 5 says that before God took him, before he took him, his testimony, his life pleased God. And then verse 6 tells us, without faith it's impossible to please God. And so it's interesting. We sometimes pull that scripture out, and understandably so. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And yet, that's tied to Enoch. He pleased God, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Enoch's faith in God was so strong that it pleased God. It blessed the heart of God. We've been looking at growing in faith and making faith an important part of our life. And it was so strong, it just blessed God. Genesis tells us Enoch was no more, and Hebrew tells us why. He pleased God. And so we see here in Genesis 5 again, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And there is the insight to Enoch's life. Enoch walked with God. Now, walking is a lifestyle. The Hebrew word for walk here means continually walking and being conversant. And don't miss that. We like to say we have a walk with God. I hope we all feel that way. But Enoch had a continual walk with God every day, and he was conversant. That's what the word means. He walked with God. He talked to God. He spoke with God. He had this prayer life, apparently, and it just blessed God. He had this testimony that it pleased God. And I think the difference that set Enoch's faith apart, for Enoch, his faith just wasn't an awareness of God. It was a daily lifestyle, talking and communicating with God. We can learn a lot from that. That every part of our life we've been talking about for weeks, we should include God. And look at this testimony of a man that had God in every part of his life, so much so that it just blessed God's heart. And Enoch's name, interestingly enough, means dedicated. And I think that should tell us something right there. He was dedicated. And when you think of a dedicated Christian in today's understanding, well, there's a dedicated Christian, and you wonder what kind of picture comes to your mind. Some people, when they hear a dedicated Christian, might picture a dedicated woman with long hair and no makeup, or a dedicated man with a starched shirt and rarely smiling, doesn't smoke, doesn't drink, doesn't swear. I mean, he's dedicated and he's serious, and we could get that picture. And far too often, many people, when they think of a dedicated Christian, they picture this dour old stick-in-the-mud kind of a person. That I wouldn't want to live like that. You know, he just walked around praying all the time or something. And we seem to forget that in the whole of Scripture, that joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Nehemiah tells us the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'd be willing to bet that Enoch was one of the happiest guys around. I mean, he walked with God. The 365 years, I don't think he was dour. I think he was one of the happiest guys around. And your life doesn't have to be full of sin to have fun. In fact, I began to find out years ago that the greatest fun is when you have fun in the face of God, if you will, that you just have a good time and you enjoy life without all the sin that comes with it. And Enoch knew God in a way I think that most of us only dream about. To really know God so well that God would just be walking with you, if you will, one day and just take you home. He walked with God. And walking in Scripture is a forward motion. Walking takes you from one place to another. Walking is always moving forward. And Enoch never walked alone. He walked with God. He never was out there on his own. He always walked with God. He spent time with God. He got to know God. And he understood who God was. And he understood God. And when God took Enoch, Enoch knew who he was going with. This beautiful picture of a beautiful relationship. But I want us to notice something here. The Bible didn't say that God walked with Enoch. It said Enoch walked with God. Now, there may be some semantics in there, but really there is a difference, and the difference is simply choice. For Enoch, it wasn't, I'm going to do this, Lord, and I'm going to do that, and you come along for the ride. For Enoch, it was, what are we doing, Lord? Where are we going? Because he walked by faith. And faith seeks God for direction, doesn't it? I mean, we can get up every day and have all kinds of plans. If you're like me, you know, I've got more of a to-do list than I have a day, you know. And we have all these plans. And that's all right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But faith says, where do I go in these plans? How do I do these plans? Where do I start? And God, be here with me. Give me wisdom and give me direction. There's a big difference. God always says, follow him. Jesus never said, get born again and I'll follow you. He says, follow me. Even the Apostle Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord. Follow my example, Paul says. I'm going to be following God. I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to listen. I'm going to have direction. I'm going to have wisdom. And follow along. Follow my example, really, is what he's saying. When Enoch was dedicated, it wasn't really just a couple hours here and there, maybe a little bit of prayer in the morning and a quick good night. It was a dedicated lifestyle. And dedicated is being sold out to God in all ways and in all things. And that's how we grow in faith. To have this atmosphere of God, if you will, this awareness of God throughout your day and all things. And in the story of Enoch, we find great hope. And we could all use great hope. Amen? I mean, I like a little hope sometimes. I'd like to have some great hope. And there's something in the story of Enoch that will bring us great hope if we watch it. Verse 5, chapter 5, 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. I'm not sure if you caught that in the scripture there. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. And I spent some time pulling this apart this week because The wording's very specific. And I was trying to say, well, did he always walk with God? And it's just kind of a wording, but the wording is specific. It's, you know, most of the scholars look at it and say, no, and it wasn't that he didn't know God, but after Methuselah was born, he walked with God. That's when things changed for him, and he had 300 years of doing that. And so the great hope is this. It took Enoch 65 years to get it. It took him 65 years. We still have hope because he lived 300 years after that. I mean, some of us are on the other side of 65, but he had 300 years. And why after Methuselah? What changed? It seemed God revealed something to Enoch after Methuselah was born. And you got to ask yourself, why would anybody name their kid Methuselah? I mean, I can't even think of a nickname that wouldn't probably cause problems. You know, what are you going to call the kid? Methuselah. And Methuselah means when he is dead, he shall come. When he is dead, he shall come. At the birth of Methuselah, Enoch had a special awareness from God that judgment was coming. I think it's one of the things that got him closer in his walk with God. It wasn't until after Methuselah died that the flood came, God's judgment on sin. And so that was God's revelation to Enoch that you shall name your child Methuselah because when he dies, then the judgment's coming. And Methuselah, you should know, is the oldest recorded man in Scripture. He lived 969 years. So if God said at the time, if you will, to Enoch, name him Methuselah, because when he's dead, the judgment will come, and God allowed him to live 969 years, you got to understand that Methuselah's long life was not an accident. It was because of the grace of God. When Methuselah died, the flood came. God kept him alive longer than anybody to give people as long as possible to repent, to show that he's long-suffering and a God of mercy and patience. I mean, there was a time when judgment came, so we can only take that so far. And I've always said in our life, we don't even know if we have tomorrow, and today's not over. I mean, none of us are promised tomorrow, so we've got to be careful with that. We've got to have that understanding when we share Christ with others that we don't know that person we're sharing with how much time they have left. But as long as they're drawing breath, there's this grace of God. And so the birth and name of Methuselah prophesied the coming of judgment of God in the flood. Later on, Enoch would prophesy the second coming of Christ and once again God's judgment, and Jude speaks of that. And so we see something in this wonderful relationship that God had with him. But I think there's something important here that we don't want to miss. I mean, Enoch clearly understood the judgment of God. That was clear. He named his kid Methuselah. I mean, he got it. He understood. He lived. He prophesied about it. He was a prophet. But he also understood the grace and joy of our God. He understood the heart of God. And I want you to consider God's heart. We see it in very creation story. Adam walked with God. Only Adam fell. And we know that story all too well. But Enoch's walk with God tells us something. That Enoch's close walk with God tells us that God still desires to walk with you, to be with you, and to love you. That's his desire. That's what he wants. Adam walked with God and fell, and it wasn't like God said, I'm done with man. He walked with Enoch so closely that he just took him home. And that tells us that God's no respecter of persons. And that tells us that God still desires to walk with you on a daily basis, to be with you, desires your company, and wants to show his love to you. He desires for you to walk on a daily basis with him. He desires to speak to you, to love you, to give you wisdom, to give you direction, to give you hope. God's desire is for you to embrace God in all of his grace and truth. God is not angry with you. He's full of grace and truth. He's also a God of love. He's full of love. He is love. And God loves you. And why we hear that, we've heard that over and over, don't miss that this morning. That God says, I love you. With this agape love, he's got a love for you. You know, we're aware of our shortcomings. We're aware of the things we struggle in. We're aware of our failures. And sometimes we don't feel very love-worthy, if you will. And God says, never forget that. That in that walk, in that daily walk, is where we will smooth out those rough places. We'll get rid of some of that stuff that shouldn't be there. It's only in walking with God. We think we got to get that stuff and then walk with God. Get rid of it, do it on our own. God said, no. No, it never said Enoch was a perfect person. There was only one perfect person. It just said that his life so blessed the heart of God that God took him. And at times, as you read through the Old Testament, it seems like the old patriarchs had it better. Walking, hearing from God, seeing God all the time, God's voice here, a burning bush there. I mean, wouldn't that be great? It seems like that was just something, man. If I could walk out of my house and, you know, my tree is burning and I walk over and talk with God, I could do that. I could handle that. Actually, we probably wouldn't. We'd fall over and say, what in the world? You know what I mean? But just hear that. We would love to have that. And it seems like they had it great, but actually quite the contrary. We read of these great supernatural events in the Old Testament, but there were long expanses of time between them. Just not all of Genesis, just from Genesis 1 to Genesis chapter 16, depending on the Bible chart you look at, is between 2,030 some odd years and 2,080 some years. And 16 chapters, over 2,000, almost 2,100 years take place. There's a long time in there, amen? And yet those people lived and loved God, the ones that God speaks of. And Enoch walked with God for 300 years. Sometimes we have a hard time getting week to week, don't we? Or through the week. And I suspect maybe Enoch had those times, but he blessed the heart of God. He walked with him and stayed true to God at all times. He did it for 300 years. Maybe, perhaps, our problem is in our dedication. His name means dedicated. Dedicated means to devote wholly to some purpose or person. And maybe we got too many of the things in our life we're dedicated to. And God's just somewhere in that list. And God's never asked you to be partially given to him, partially dedicated to him. It's a total selling out to God. And we tend to be independent people. We like to do things our way. We like to make our own decisions, and nobody needs to tell us what to do. Amen? That's who we are for the most part. And God has always been looking for somebody to be dependent on him. And the beauty of the relationship with God is you can be an independent person, meaning you can be your own person. You don't have to follow the crowd, but you can still be an independent person but be totally dependent on God. Totally submitted, totally yield, totally listening to his wisdom, totally seeking him for direction, totally relying on him in all things at all times. And you can only be fully dedicated to somebody that you fully trust. And you will only be fully dedicated to somebody that you have absolute faith in. Because if you don't trust or have faith in somebody, or certainly God, you'll never be fully dedicated because you always have this little bit of reservation. Well, what if? And I can't think of anybody better than God to be fully dedicated to. I mean, he's the one that will write everything about your life. He's the one that will center your life. He's the one that will make every part of your life better. And it's not too late. Enoch was 65 years old before he started, and he spent the next 300 years walking with God. God was so blessed, so pleased with Enoch that he removed every barrier between them. Times may have changed, but God has not. And the truth is, and if you've been checking out for a moment here, come back, because I don't want you to miss this. The truth is this, that God has already removed every barrier between you and him in Jesus Christ. He did it on the cross. There is no barrier between you and God when you know Christ. Come boldly into the throne room of grace and get help and mercy when you need it. Come before me in all things. Pray without seeking. Seek me. Look for direction and wisdom. Call on me and I'll answer you and show you great mighty things that you don't know. Jeremiah 33:3. I love that. There is no barrier between you and God. We create barriers. And God said, come to me. I'll wash you clean. I'll remove every barrier. And Christ shed his blood to cleanse you and to show just how much he loved you. Every hour, every day, he's holding out his hand to you to say, walk with me. That's what he wants. And you know what? I don't think it mattered at all to Enoch what his day brought. Because we never know what our day brings, amen? We get up, we have our plans, we get started, and how many know we'll have those days that everything falls apart right in front of us? And everything changes. We know that, right? All of a sudden, this wasn't on my to-do list, but it has to be taken care of. And all these things happen, and we have that. That's called life. And I don't think for a moment that Enoch allowed his day to dictate what happened. I don't think he cared, if you will, what his day brought. He did not let it stand in his relationship with God. In fact, my experience has been when the craziness happens and the things that you weren't planning on happening, and everything changes, when you turn to God in that, say, okay, Lord, I'm frustrated, I'm upset, whatever, but you turn to him, that's when the day gets better. That's when the walking with God changes things. That's when hearing from him and listening to him and getting wisdom and getting direction, and if nothing else, calming some of the frustration, that walking with God. I think for Enoch, his relationship with God came first and foremost. So in our desire to grow in faith, we've been looking at for weeks, I think it's important to check our dedication daily. Daily. Because I've got to remind myself, we get caught up in the busyness of life. There is so much to do, and if you have my personality, you add a lot of things onto your day. It's just what some of us do, unfortunately, you know. We got this things to do, and yet you can include God in that. And I find it so easy in the busyness of life to lose that dedication. Kind of get caught up in it and forget about the all-consuming, all-promising, daily presence of God. Because God never leaves us. He lives within us. We just lose our awareness and our sensitivity of him being with us. Fully dedicated, fully submitted to God, keeps this constant awareness. The Bible speaks a lot about faith. We see many, many scriptures of faith, and great faith is important. But great faith is important, but you won't have a great faith without a great relationship. Because you will not have a great faith in somebody that you don't fully know and that you don't fully trust. And so whatever time we have left here on this earth, whatever God allows us, let's be sure we make the choice to walk with God on a daily basis. And how about making a covenant with the Holy Spirit? That when I become forgetful, Holy Spirit, when I become busy and my mind's starting to run and our mind's starting to race and I got all this stuff and I get to worry and I get to consume and I'm not sure what to do, that you remind me, Holy Spirit, that you're with me. Cause me to calm down. Cause me to listen. Cause me to take a breath. Cause me, Holy Spirit, to just seek your direction and your wisdom. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to walk with God? And I can guarantee you, God, the Father, God, the Son, and God, the Holy Spirit, is fully dedicated to you. He's sold out to you. Christ proved that. And his dedication, when you tell him, remind me, I guarantee you he will. I know from experience. Amen? So let's make sure to make a choice to walk with God on a daily basis. Let's have our life in some way, somehow, resemble Enoch's. That God just be blessed with our walk. Invite the worship team to come forward. As they're coming forward, it's probably hard to imagine the depth of relationship that Enoch had with God. And the beauty is that God desires an individual walk with each of us. He doesn't need you to walk like somebody else did. He just wants you to walk with him. And wherever you find yourself this morning in your walk with God, wherever you see yourself walking with God, you can make the choice to walk closer, starting today and building on that. Because there is no pinnacle. There is no place where God says, okay, that's close enough. You know, we know each other. No. So wherever you find yourself, you can decide today, I'm going to get closer to God. So when we go back into worship, I encourage you to make that your prayer. As you go into worship, ask Him to help you to be dedicated, to live a dedicated life to Him. It'll be the most important decision you ever make, next to asking Jesus to save you. The most important decision you'll ever make, simply because walking with God, close to God, will impact every area of your life for the better. Let's worship our God together this morning.